Hi, my name's Sam Breakgear and welcome to Brains Bite Back. This is the podcast where we like to dissect, cut open and analyze all the gooey parts of psychology and technology in our society today. Advertising is everywhere. I don't need to list examples of that. You know it, you can't escape them. Advertising is nothing new to our society. However, the way we are advertised to is constantly evolving. 20 years ago, you would sound like a maniac if you said, "This app has too many ads in it and there is no skip ad button." That sentence probably wouldn't have made much sense. But in today's world, it does, unfortunately, and it's probably very relatable. In this episode, we'll take a look at how ads are evolving, what advertising companies are doing to give users a better advertising experience, and what we can expect to see from the future of advertising. For this episode, I'm joined by a Miami-based entrepreneur who is the CEO and co-founder of Stream Media, an innovative SaaS platform that empowers content providers with their own distribution, engagement, and monetization tools, Giovanni Punzo. And for our special feature, we have good news regarding the BBC and the dark web. Disclosure. This episode includes a client of an Aspasio portfolio company. I'd love to know, what was the first advert you remember seeing?
Okay, advertisement. That I remember, you know, the one that just comes up to my mind, is the Burger King ad during the Super Bowl. Yeah, I don't know if you remember that one.
No, we don't have the Super Bowl in the UK. It's not a big thing. But I do hear that the Super Bowl adverts are like the holy grail of adverts, or like the main. There's one of the big buzzes around the Super Bowl, I hear, anyway.
And I'll tell you, it was Andy Warhol. And it was just really bizarre, you know. And it was an old commercial, an old take that Burger King did in the, I think it was in the 80s. And they relaunched it again in 2019. It's basically Andy Warhol, you know, famous artist, just eating a Burger King, you know, a burger, and putting ketchup on it. It just never connected with the audience. It was a big fiasco.
My name is Andy Warhol, and I just finished eating a hamburger.
You know, and it makes me think, and actually, it agrees with the theory that the ads that we watch today on TV or that we listen to are just not connecting anymore. And whoever is creating them, it's not connecting with the audience. So there's this big evolution of how ads should connect, or content marketing. And it's really about reinventing the brand-to-consumer approach. And then it comes down to, you know, where is also the consumer watching or listening, right? And they're not watching anymore on TV. So there's so much going on, I think, in terms of changes within the industry. So it's not only what we watch video or what we listen to audio. It's also about how things are being displayed and the interactivity that can be created through that. Check it out. Just if you put Super Bowl ads, Burger King on Google, you'll see this awful ad that Burger King paid millions of dollars for that just never connected.
Send me a link and I'm really interested in seeing that, and I'll share it with our listeners as well so they can check it out. Before we get started, I think it would be great if you are able to tell us who you are, what you do, and your experience currently in the industry of advertising.
Yeah, so my name is Gio Punzo. I'm the CEO of Stream Media and co-founder together with Antonio Calderon, who's our CTO and co-founder. And we started the company in 2014 with a mission. And our mission is to save the content industry. And it's such a big mission, right? And, you know, how do you do it? What exactly do you do? So we focus on three areas that are very important and are hard to us, which is content distribution, engagement, and monetization. And on the monetization side, this is where we have developed new technologies, new digital advertising technology that can really help content providers connect with end users in digital. So again, we know we started in 2014, based out of Miami, Florida, and here we are disrupting completely the content landscape, in touching obviously the content providers, TVs and radios make money on digital, on advertisement, period, right? That's how they always made money. And the shift to digital, it's so difficult for them. They need to find new ways to connect with the audience. They need to find a new way to monetize. They don't understand digital advertisement very well. So we help them through this journey.
I was interested by the description of the work that you do. For example, you said you claim that you've created a technology that helps create better brand and consumer feeling when viewing digital advertising. And can you explain how this technology works? How does it create a better feeling for the consumer?
I did. So there are a couple of things. You know, we did several focus groups where we showed end users different types of advertisement, and the one that comes to mind was the advertisement that come from YouTube, which, you know, Google owns 80% of the digital advertising in the world. And the students were between the age of 8 and 13. They were showed the images from YouTube. The question was, name the brand. And the younger audience was some of them reached out and said YouTube. So even though you might have an Adidas or a Nike commercial, as they get that pre-roll, the famous skip ad in the image, the focus, the shift of the eyes is not anymore toward the advertisement. It's right away looking into that little box on the low right inside, which is skip ad, and you're just waiting for those 5 seconds to go away. However, you know, the industry is full of pre-rolls, because that's what we know, and that's what the technologies out there prepare you for, until YouTube and Facebook created the mid-roll. So now not only you're being interrupted at the beginning of a content experience, but even in the middle of it. So we studied it. You know, we asked different focus groups what they thought of our new format. So we actually have a patent pending technology on digital advertisement called Inside Ad, where we show the advertisement in a split screen on mobile devices. So as you're waiting, as you want to watch something, or you want to even listen to something on a mobile application, your experience will never be interrupted. You will still be able to listen to an audio, and we will insert an advertisement, a video advertisement, using our technology in a non-intrusive way, and you have the right to remove the ad if you want to. But because you're not being interrupted, we've noticed that the viewability rates is up to 95%. So meaning that people are not skipping our ads. People are actually watching them, and at the same time not being interrupted during the content experience. So try to visualize it in a way where, you know, again, you are watching a content, and then all of a sudden the screen splits, and on the left inside will appear an advertisement. On the right inside, you're still watching the content, and your audio, it's always going to be from your original content. If you want to get into the advertisement and learn more, just press it. Otherwise, you're just going to watch a multitask for a few seconds.
What is the response for that? Do people get bothered by that? I can imagine that people are probably willing to give it more time, or willing to like accept its presence there more so than just like watching an ad beforehand, rather than just jumping to the skip ad. But do people, are people happy with it? They're kind of, what their response is, they like, oh yeah, that's fine, yeah, you can have that there, or they're like, oh, why is this ad taking up half the screen? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And the beauty is that we have data, right? So the data that we've seen from our customers using our technology is that there is, again, a 95% viewability rate. That means that people are actually watching the two screens at the same time. The click-through is higher than a regular Facebook or Instagram advertisement when you're looking at from a brand perspective. You know, is the brand also winning in this? Absolutely. And the end user is loving it. You know, there's a sign of relief. There's comments like, this is genius. Thank you. I love it. I don't mind. Better experience. So all these things come out from the consumer perspective, Because again, the skip pad is a negative brand connectivity with the end user. You know, the brand is looked in a negative way by the end user. The end user is focused just on getting rid of this ad. So what does, you know, the Google, YouTube of this world do? Now they're putting two skip ads or two pre-rolls, one after the other, and it's just making that experience awful. But because they own, you know, there's more people watching YouTube than TV nowadays, they don't care, you know, they're making more money. But, you know, the great thing is that our technology now is getting in the hands of some big corporations. So we signed some very large deal with some of the biggest broadcasters in the world, meaning that we'll be able to start seeing our alternative to the skip ads, our better brand to consumer approach in terms of digital advertisement on different devices in the next month or so.
Awesome. So you also said another thing that I wanted to bring up. Can you explain how you intend to take users on a new journey? That's something that I read in your proposal or in your work. Could you explain how you intend to do this?
Absolutely. So the couple of things that we do, and again, you know, when I started our chat, you know, I explained that what we do is the three things that we focus on is distribution, engagement, monetization, and that means that as the user is discovering new content, we're helping them not just watch the content but interact as well with the content. So we have developed new technologies where the end user becomes part of the content experience by creating himself or herself stories, video stories. I'll give you an example. You know, perhaps it's easier. You know, let's say we have we build an app or a radio station or a TV station, and now you're watching their content. And inside the apps, we've created a technology called Inside Stories, where the end user can create user-generated content that then can be shared back with the radio stations or TV stations. And the topics of that content can be defined by the content owner. And the reason why we create that interactivity is because, you know, we live in a world where users are constantly on social media creating content. And that content is just being given for free to Facebook, to Instagram, to Snapchat, to TikTok. And it's really, you know, again, let's go back to our mission. Our mission is to save the content industry. We need to help the content providers now get that content away from, let's say, the social media and back to them so that they can create that rapport, that relationship with the end user. So TV stations, radio stations, content providers will be able to connect again with the end users using our, you know, user-generated content features so that they can create new experiences for the end user, and through interactivity. You know, sing the song of your favorite artist that you just heard on the radio, you could win some tickets, or, you know, and send us the video, all connected to the same platform.
It seems like what you're doing is obviously you're taking a very personal approach to what people want to see from adverts, and rather than just say like, we have something to advertise, stick it under these people's faces, it's more kind of like a back and forth between what the people want to see and what they're gonna genuinely react to, and also the content providers, like you said, what's gonna help them survive this tough time. But I did want to ask you, what is your feelings towards ad blockers? As an ad company, I'm sure you probably have strong feelings towards them.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to the ad blockers is because of, you know, people are tired of or receiving unwanted ads. So the couple of things that I believe are going to happen. Again, we're growing into with some of the major players because they're trying to figure out how to display ads in new ways. I think there's going to be a wave of creativity that's going to come out because, you know, the money is definitely on digital advertisement. But how do you get away with ad blockers, or how do you fight that war? Is content marketing is one something that comes to our mind, you know, better and more relatable content that can be wrapped into some forms of advertisement. And then, you know, again, we look at our technology where we're not intrusive. You know, ads should not be intrusive. You know, you should not just receive ads whenever the system decides to send you ads, audio or video. So new forms of ad displays are going to be the ones winning this this digital war and or this digital disruption. And you know, we're going to be at the forefront of that.
So what I kind of feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like you're saying ad blockers have become a byproduct of adverts not appealing to the audiences or not tapping in and becoming an unwanted nuisance opposed to something which can actually provide value to the consumer's life. So it's not so much that ad blockers the enemy, they're just the byproduct of a flawed system.
It's absolutely true. It's exactly what's what we believe in. And it's obviously it's not well regulated. It's in total disruption. But, you know, and it's owned by few, right? It's owned by a handful of players. The other alternative that we've seen is, which is also interesting, is customers, some of our customers says, okay, we don't want to put We don't even want to play in the ad space. You know, we just want to go subscription. But subscription services are, there's so many of them right now. And can consumers live with another subscription service just so that they don't see ads, right? Netflix model is no ads, right? So they've taught us that you don't need to see an ad anymore because, again, the ads are not relatable. And they taught us this subscription model. So ads they need to reinvent themselves. I think, again, we're working with some big broadcasters that believe in our story, in our technology. We can reconnect the brand to the consumer without interrupting their audio or video experience. Just think of it for a second, a world without skip ads. It's amazing. It's a beautiful world.
Yeah, definitely. Especially since I understand what you're saying about the double ads. I've recently been encountering that, where it's like you skip the first ad and then like, all right, cool, now time to watch this YouTube video. And then it's like another ad comes up and it's like, oh man, at what point are they going to add a third one? And it just becomes a game of how many times can you skip the ad before you give up and don't watch the video.
I'll give you another one. You know, there's an application that that we use to watch football games, soccer games, which is called FUBU, F-U-B. It's actually a subscription app, but they even throw you four pre-rolls. Four in a row. That's brutal, you know?
And it's a subscription as well. It's subscription.
Subscription. Very expensive. Very expensive. They throw you. And again, why they do that? Because there's not an alternative technology that can help you improve, you know, again, that the brand-to-consumer relationship. And also, you know, there's all this market of content marketing that we believe in. You know, we're going to be investing heavily into that area of creating content marketing materials for brands. Again, I think of it this way, the ads that we watch on TV today, they're not relatable, you know, and the same with audio. So that market needs to be completely reinvented, and it's exciting times.
It's interesting that you mentioned audio, because for me, I saw something recently. It was recently announced that an ad blocker has been created to block ads on podcasts. Now, we don't have ads on this podcast, but at the same time, like, since I work in the podcast industry, that's something that slightly worries me, only for the sake that this is like podcasts seem to be, well, from my experience of listening to podcasts, it depends. There's two different types of ads. It seems like there's the standard ads where they take a pause from the show and then they just play ads. That can be sometimes a bit irritating because it just seems like random, and also like it doesn't really resonate with me as such. But then there's the ads where the hosts usually take the time to explain a product or sell a product, and on those occasions I actually kind of do like it, because most of the time I listen to it and I'm like, that sounds like a good product, I'm actually interested in that. It's almost like they've curated it for like their audience, and it does resonate with me, and I really like it when that happens. So I'm not averse to ads being in podcasts when it's like a presenter that's chosen the product and is happy to like explain it and talk about it, and in their own manner it feels more like an extension of the show rather than an actual like advert. But how can, if podcasts were to be impacted by this kind of like block ads feature, how do you think podcasts could evolve their advertising strategy to survive against the threat of ad blockers?
Yeah, and we had those conversations with some of the biggest radio groups in the U.S., you know, the Entercom, Cumulus, Higher Radio. And I can't mention because of several NDAs that we have with some of them, but our technology actually is going to help through that. So yes, there's going to be ad blockers for podcasts. And again, listening to an ad during a podcast you mentioned two types of ads. You know, we call the ones of the host actually talking about the product. That's more content marketing, and that's what's going to continue to grow, right? Because they make that relationship between brand to consumer relatable. Well, the other ones are not, you know, the other ones are just, in my opinion, garbage, you know, and how can you make them more relatable without interrupting the experience? The big thing here is you want the consumer to feel to not be interrupted. You know, they should not be interrupted because the moment they are, they're leaving. There's so many options right now. The podcast owners don't know how else to monetize. Well, we're working with some of these big podcast owners that we're introducing our technology, and it's very, very exciting. Not only for the revenue opportunity that they can bring in, but again, because our technology will not interrupt that user experience. So I'm happy for the ad blockers because it's going to give us more opportunity to bring in our technology that does not interrupt the user experience. So that's a win. That connects the brand. That's another win. And it helps the content provider monetize more. That's the third win.
That's awesome. Well, it seems like you're on the right side and you're doing the right things. So yeah, that's great. I really look forward to seeing your work on that. My last question to you, out of interest, it's kind of similar to what we spoke about at the start. What's your favorite ad ever?
Wow, let me think. You know, lately, the one that just stays with me is the Lincoln ads where they have Matthew
McConaughey.
Yeah, those ads kind of stay with me. You know, I don't know why. When you ask me the question, I that's the first thing that popped into my head.
Next chapter.
That one is interesting. There's another one, you know, and I go back to the Super Bowl. I guess the Super Bowl, I'm pretty big with that, I guess. ASMR is another area that is pretty cool. There was an ASMR Super Bowl ad that also caught my attention, and it was pretty cool. It was a Michelob Ultra Super Bowl ads with Zoe Kravitz.
Let's all experience something.
Check it out. It's pretty neat. Again, I don't know how relatable it is, just because ASMR is so deep and dark in some ways. But it's different, right? It's different. It's what I was telling at the beginning. The ads that you watch on TV today, they're just not relatable anymore. So they have to think outside the box. You have to create new type of experiences between the brand and the consumer. And I will put that the Michelob Ultra ASMR Super Bowl ad with Zoe Kravitz as my ultimate favorite.
You got to send that over. Send that one over, the Burger King one over, and the Matthew McConaughey ads over. Send them over. I want to see them. And I'll also include them for our listeners so they can check them out. I'm really keen to see those. And it sounds like you're doing a great job. You are bringing some more interesting experiences than just those annoying skip ad adverts that we seem to be bombarded with. So thanks for your work in that. If our listeners do want to keep up with what you're doing, how can they stay up to date? Do you have social media or website?
Yeah, we do. So stream.com is the name of our company. You can go on our website and schedule a meeting with one of our experts. We have different places on the website where we can do that. We are on Instagram, Stream Media. We are also on Facebook, and soon we're launching our TikTok channel as well, which is going to be a fantastic way for us to connect with the younger consumers as well.
Fantastic. Gio, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
This week's good news is a short one, and you've probably seen it already, but if not, I wanted to share it with you. A couple of weeks ago, the BBC announced that it has made its international news website available via the Tor network in a bid to thwart censorship attempts. As I'm sure you already know, especially if you listen to our dark web episode, the Tor browser is a privacy-focused software used to access the dark web. The BBC article points out that the browser can obscure who is using it and what data is being accessed, which can help people avoid government surveillance and censorship. Countries including China, Iran, and Vietnam are among those who have tried to block access to the BBC News website or programs. We have a link to the full article on our website at social.co. From there, you can also find a link to access the BBC's new page. That is our show. Thank you as always for listening. It's been a pleasure. If you want to follow us, go to Spotify and you can find us there, Brains Bite Back, and you can follow us. You can also find us on iTunes and all the other places which you'd love to listen to your podcasts. You can also go to thesociable.co and subscribe to our newsletter, and that way you'll always stay up to date with what we're doing here at The Sociable. Thanks and have a great day.